out there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by my two regulars, Adam.
Yo.
And Maestro.
Yo.
This week, we are watching 2013's Grudge Match, and we just wanted to say thank you for listening, and if you're interested in any of our other shows on the network, go to ratpackpodcast.com. On there, you have the flagship show, which is the Random Acts of Tangent.
Yes.
Where we discuss anything. We could do politics, sports, anything that's on the news or anything that's on the mind.
Yeah. Whatever comes to our mind at the time, it's all crazy.
Yeah.
There's no real structure. Well, we try to have a structure, yeah, but it ends up getting off the rails very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, like, the structure in my head is impossible to follow.
Right. It's based on maestro structure is what the show is. Yes.
And what other shows are there?
My rabbit hole. What?
Yeah.
What other shows are there?
We also have Tyrant Think Podcast, mm-hmm, which Rex goes into the more outlandish things with Morpheus, mm-hmm, with Orpheus. There's also Girl on Geek, mm-hmm, we have as well. LCR, which is not as current anymore. We try to keep it fresh with political things that are happening that are important, but there's not a whole lot to talk about at this moment, so it's kind of on hiatus.
So check the shows out. If you like this show, I'm sure you'll like the other ones. We all have the same kind of humor. We all have the same kind of, you know,
yep,
banter back and forth,
yeah,
with one another, just different topics. Anyway, on to the main course. Grudge Match,
mm-hmm,
2013, Rocky versus Jake LaMotta. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay. let's get ready to rumble.
Grudge Match, directed by Peter Siegel. This name, you may or may not know him. Adam, I'll get to him in a minute.
Oh.
This stars Sylvester Stallone,
mm-hmm,
Robert De Niro, Kevin Hart, Alan Arkin, Kim Basinger, ladies love Cool James.
Yeah.
And other cameos. Peter Siegel, he directed this movie. I brought him up, Adam, because here are some of the movies he's directed. He directed Tommy Boy.
Okay.
Do you like that movie?
Yeah.
It's a good comedy. Have you ever heard of My Fellow Americans?
Yes.
No.
It's with a Jack Lemmon and I forgot it's another old school comedian.
Okay.
They're both former presidents.
Yes.
One's a former Republican president, one's a former Democratic president. They have to work together to get a conspiracy. I think it's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like
it. You agree, Maestro?
Yeah. They actually have that one song that I really liked. The Bad Moon Rising was in that movie.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. That's my show's karaoke song, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I hate you.
And then he went to Anger Management.
Sandler. Oh, okay.
51st Dates, Sandler. And The Longest Yard, Sandler.
Oh, okay.
So he's a well-known Sandler person. So I don't know if this is going to go into your judgment of the movie based on his resume.
You should have said that after the movie.
I should have.
The point.
I'm sorry. But kind of stew on that.
Interesting.
Let me give you guys a brief synopsis in case you haven't seen the movie, which you should, but you don't really have to because we're going to go over it.
Yeah.
A pair of aging boxing rivals are coaxed out of retirement to fight one final bout. 30 years after their last match.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. So this is pretty much Rocky Balboa versus Jake LaMotta.
Yeah.
This is how the movie was created.
Right, from Raging Bull.
Yeah, Raging Bull, yeah. That's the reference to it.
And Rocky, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Three.
Yeah, there's six of them.
That was Balboa?
Balboa was the sixth one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It felt like this could have taken place right after Balboa.
Yeah.
Like right after.
Maybe like 5 years down the road.
Yeah. Not a whole lot. Yeah.
I mean, he does look in great shape still.
He's in as best shape as he can be.
For
as,
his age.
As his advanced age.
Yes. Are you sure about that? Because I think the movie that he actually lost weight for this movie. So he can match more of De Niro's weight class.
Well, he needed to lose a lot more to match De Niro's weight class. De Niro did not look like a boxer at all.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing about him that made me think, yeah, he used to box.
Back in the 70s and stuff like that, they didn't look like they do today.
Right. Well, also some boxers.
Well, there's weight classes.
Exactly.
Stallone would be a heavyweight.
You think so?
De Niro would be, if this is Rocky versus Jake LaMotta, Rocky was a heavyweight champ. Mm-hmm. And Jake LaMotta was a welterweight or a middleweight.
Okay.
So completely different weight classes. Yeah.
And you can tell. You can tell by looking at the guys. They're built differently.
Well, yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something embarrassing? I think De Niro is in more shape than I am. like De Niro, when he's like finally trained and ready to box,
yeah,
he's in way better shape than I am, dude.
Yeah.
Way better shape.
Yeah, I would say the same
thing. And I'm 29. That's sad. And he's in his, what, 60s?
Yeah. But then he has professional background.
That's true.
And he had a trainer.
And he's
his
Jake
son.
LaMotta. And he's Jake LaMotta.
Yeah, he's Jake LaMotta.
The guy that died in Walking Dead.
Shane?
Yeah, Shane.
Yes.
That bumped me. That was like, what the hell is this?
He played like, the way he played in this movie made me think that he was younger than in the Walking Dead series.
Absolutely. Yes. I had the same exact thought. He's so much younger now than when he died 10 years ago in Walking Dead or whatever, however old that show is at this point.
Well, didn't you know? I mean, like, when an actor is not on the film, they actually go back in time.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I did not know that.
I didn't know
Interesting
that.
Interesting fact.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Well, let's jump into the movie.
Okay.
Immediately, we were bombarded with exposition.
Yes.
Yes.
Within the first 3 minutes, you have tons of exposition from Jim Lampley from HBO. Do you guys watch boxing?
Yeah.
Jim Lampley does all the HBO boxing matches. Awesome voice.
Yeah.
He has an awesome voice. Here's my note. That's some scary CGI on De Niro and Stallone.
Oh, my God.
The CGI they used to make them look young.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was frightening.
Well, it's the same kind of thing he did in Tron, right?
Yeah, with, the Jeff Bridges.
With the dude.
The young Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could tell that it was CGI, but man.
If you're watching this for the first time, you didn't know anything about De Niro or Stallone, that could seem like it was old footage.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, it was legit. But then we know that they don't look like that at all.
Yeah.
So I was just like, wow. And part of me thought that they took scenes from like Raging Bull or from Rocky and kind of doctored it together. The same way that Muhammad Ali fought his daughter in that one commercial all that time ago.
Uh-huh.
Same kind of concept. But that was very impressive. The whole introductory flashback stuff. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the kind of throwback to boxing, whereas when Razor gets knocked out, down goes Razor.
Yeah, down goes Razor. That was the down goes Frazier. Yeah.
So that was like, wow, that's interesting. All right, so they're trying to pull from history to kind of make it as legitimate as possible.
Yeah,
and then the rest of the movie comes on.
What his Stallone's face when he I'm announcing my retirement for professional boxing.
That was
his face looks scary.
Oh my God,
it looks like he had a bad Botox incident.
It's wow.
Well, that's what even in the Tron 2 movie, they had the same issue. I mean, he looked like he was just like flushed, like with no like creases at all.
It was
on
too
his
tight,
face.
Too tight,
yeah, too tight, too tight, too tight.
His skin was too smooth.
Yeah.
So in this world, there's Kid, who's played by Robert De Niro,
right?
And
Razor
Sharp,
played by Stallone. They're both badass fighters. They're both rivals that hate each other. Stallone wins the
the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
De Niro.
No. Stallone wins the first one. De Niro wins the second one because.
No. De Niro lost the second one.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
De Niro.
Because the whole thing was he wasn't at his best.
Yeah. He wasn't at his best. He beats him in the fourth round.
Oh. Okay.
And then that's when Stallone announces his retirement. So I don't know where he retires. And then more exposition. You find out that De Niro owns a restaurant.
Right.
And he loves to talk about his glory days, and Stallone lost all his money.
Yeah.
And he works in a factory of some kind in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. And not watching Raging Bull, we talked about this earlier, that's a throwback to Raging Bull, where in the movie he becomes owner of a restaurant talking about his glory days, just like his character now.
Yes.
So there's a lot of similarities that they're trying to draw from to make this seem like it's that rematch, Raging Bull versus Rocky, but it also goes off the tracks in a lot of ways. They're like, all right, totally different things.
Yeah,
but that was interesting.
They do a lot of playing with that. That's pretty funny. I like that, especially the part with the Rocky version with the meat.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We'll
get to that. All
right. So they haven't spoke to each other in years.
Yeah.
Everyone always wondered what happened to the grudge match. What happened to the rubber match?
Yeah.
Stallone won one. De Niro won one. What happened? And you never know until now. It's revealed, and then Kevin Hart shows up.
Yeah.
Apparently, his dad was a boxing promoter similar to Don King, Don King of that era.
Yeah.
And he's trying to coax them into being a video game together.
Yeah. So they gotta have him show up, put on the green suits with all the balls on them to measure
the mocap motion capture suit.
Yeah.
Mocap.
Yeah. And so, like, all right, come down here, just take a couple swings. We'll give you $10,000 for it.
Yeah. And so he's like, I can't be in the same room with that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll do it for 15.
So they agree. Oh, and you find out that Alan Arkin is his trainer or used to be his trainer.
Right.
And he has to pay for him to stay in the old folks home that he's in.
Right.
Did you think Kevin Hart was funny in this role?
I think he was probably the best part of the movie for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I just seemed like, I just thought his comedy was just so forced.
I
chuckled a couple of times at what he said. Like, he's normally a funny guy.
Yeah.
But to me, he seems so forced in this.
A lot of the stuff that he was saying comes almost directly from his stand-up. There's a lot of, like, characters that he brings out that are from his stand-up show into the movie. So, in a way, I guess they were trying to force some of that in there, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as humor goes, compared to the rest of the movie, anyway, he was, I think, the funniest part of the movie.
Are you sure? I really liked the whole banter between De Niro and Stallone.
That seemed forced to me.
That, wow. Yeah. I don't feel like it was.
There was only like two scenes where they're bantering that I really liked.
What, the part where they were at the, when they were fighting against the USC guys?
Yes, because I don't like UFC. Okay. That's primarily one. And then in the casino when they're reading that copy, look at that prime rib. Yeah. It is amazing.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so they end up going, but they both agree to do the video game thing. Uh-huh. And Stallone's there doing his thing, and he feels like an idiot, and because he looks like an idiot in that green crazy suit.
Yeah.
And then De Niro comes out. Apparently, he showed up early.
And De Niro's full, like, De Niro, like,
yeah,
modern De Niro, like, this fucking guy with the jaw to the side, like, Oh, I was looking for my old friend. I was seeing how you're doing,
Yeah.
He's got that full, like, De Niro. He's in De Niro mode. And I had a problem with this scene.
Okay.
I don't know about video games or how video games are made.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that when you're wearing the mocap suit, it's not fully edited and the characters aren't already created behind you. And, like, the textures aren't there. Isn't it that they record your movements as stick figures and then later on they add the layers of like hair and skin? Because behind Stallone, it's a video game version of Stallone, fully rendered.
Yeah.
Then what the fuck was the point of bringing him in already have him rendered?
No, well, the rendering isn't, well, the motion capture is not to get how they look, it's to get how they move.
Oh, okay.
So it's very possible, although probably not, that they did have the renderings done and they were just trying to get the movements down to how they were going to make this character move the right way.
Because I would understand that if they're going to be doing a lot of added programming into the game, that they would do that well before the rendering actually takes place.
Well, Bill Simmons, he had a piece on ESPN. It was on YouTube where they put the mocap suit on him and he's going to be in EA NBA Live.
Okay.
And when they're getting his shooting down and he's a stick figure.
Yeah. Okay.
So seeing that and then seeing this where he's already, Stallone's already rendered, I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
There's a little bit of movie magic there, I'm sure, because I'm sure there's glitches they gotta make it so that movements are recorded properly and make sure everything came out the right way. It's probably possible to do that a little bit, probably not to the extent that which they did. That's the movie magic part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm inclined to think that yes, stick figures would be the better way to do it, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay,
they couldn't do that.
That wasn't my turnoff moment. I was an observation. That was just an observation. That's just something I put that.
You don't have a turnoff moment. That's Adam's
actually
job.
I actually don't. Yeah. Which I'm wondering where it is.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about it.
Oh, that means there wasn't one.
Yeah. Let me ponder on that. Let's keep talking then.
Okay.
De Niro shows up. Stallone's like, "Hey, you backstab me? What the fuck's this guy doing here?"
Because basically, the only reason why he said he would do that, as long as he didn't have to see De Niro,
be in the same room with Kid De Niro,
right?
And they're jawing. And then they shove each other and then they go into a real hitting. Like,
yeah.
They start hitting each other.
Start taking the monitors, destroying everything.
Destroy all the equipment.
Yeah.
Everyone brings their phones out. They're recording it. So they become an internet sensation.
Right.
Yeah. Everything goes viral.
Yeah.
And people start saying, you know, that's awesome. It's funny. Two old guys going at it.
Yeah. Maybe we can get that rematch.
Right. So at this point, they start deciding, hey, this can actually bring in some money. So they agree to do it because, well, Stallone agrees to do it because he's hard up for money. That's pretty much his whole motivation, isn't it?
Because he's been paying for Alan Arkin's stay at that retirement home.
Yeah. Right. So he decides to do it, and De Niro, of course, wants to do it because he wants his revenge. He wants nothing more than to get his rubber match because he knows he can beat him.
Yeah.
Trained at their best, he knows he can beat him.
I feel like the entire attitude that he has for the entire movie is based upon the fact that he wanted to get that fight. He wanted to fight Stallone, the whole thing.
Yeah, that's all he wanted.
And he runs out of his restaurant like, Yeah, and it has the young Stallone. Hey, did you see that picture?
Young De Niro.
It's a young De Niro hanging on his restaurant.
Yeah.
Him in the boxing pose.
Right.
And he's like, yes, yes, yes. And he's like, oh,
yeah,
I got to get in shape.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckled at that.
Yeah. that was interesting. That was funny. And then it goes on. So now this is a problem that I had with it. And this is probably around my turnoff moment was the fact that they have to sell the fight and they have to sell it together. Which I've never heard of in anything, any kind of battle between two people of any kind, basketball, football, boxing, skiing, whatever it is, you're against somebody, you do not go out together and promote with each other. You want to try to, you try to keep separate. It's the same kind of thing about if you're going to get married, you don't see your bride. It's a little bit superstitious, a little bit just, I don't want to humanize you. Yeah. I want, you're a target and that's it.
Yeah, but the thing about it is this, they only have one promoter for the whole thing. And it's very
low. Another thing is very weird.
It's very low budget, and they're trying to get something that's gone viral into something that's becoming really public and everyone's going
to
watch it.
They're trying to book a 5,000 seat arena.
Right.
And then spoiler alert, they get more tickets. So they go to like a 30,000 seat arena.
Yeah. After all the drama between them and they keep getting in fights and stuff, it just becomes more and more of a thing where it starts snowballing because people are seeing this stuff go viral where they're beating each other up or whatever.
Or they're talking shit.
Talking shit all day. They're like, all right, now I want to see this. A little more history there. A little more the backstory of why they're fighting, which is why they do all that bullshit in the Olympics. Like, all right, here's some backstory on this person. So then you actually care. You want to root for them.
Yeah.
So now you're getting a lot more there. Mm-hmm. But while they're jointly promoting the fight, the ex shows up.
Stallone's ex, Kim Basinger.
Yeah, Kim Basinger.
Actually, it's both their exes.
Yeah.
You find out later on.
De
Niro reveals it right away. After the fight in the video game studio.
That was my
job. That was just like a punch of exposition in our face.
Yeah.
Because he's like, why don't you guys like each other? He goes, I knocked up his girl.
Yeah.
No, but and Kevin Hart was like, why are you telling me this? He's like, whatever.
Yeah, it was a very weird scene because it's like, why is he so mad? I don't know why he's mad. Oh, well, there was this one thing that happened.
I knocked up his girl.
That's probably it. What do you mean? That's probably it. Of course that's it. Yes. How could that be anything but that? Yeah. Like, it just came to him like, you know what? Now that I think about it, he is probably not happy that I knocked up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, Eureka. No, that's 30 years.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking. I knocked up his girlfriend and now he hates me. I'm not going to get this rubber match. That's full of regret.
I have a question about Kevin Hart's character.
Yeah.
This guy's driving a hoopty around.
Yeah.
He books one fight and he moves to pimp status. He's wearing suits and he's driving a sports car. I want to promote a fucking fight.
Yeah. He must have got a huge advance.
Yeah.
Cause what?
Let's start promoting fights, dude.
Yeah.
If it's that easy to just say, hey, we're going to get these two in a room together. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Maestro versus somebody.
Maestro's trying to do some promoting a couple nights. When we go out, he sees a guy that's like a fighter or whatever, and he starts like chatting him up like, hey, so you're a fighter? Like, yeah. Like, what kind of fighting? He's like, he starts giving him some pointers on his skill. And he's like, I can promote for you, dude. I'm like, Maestro, you've never promoted anything in your life.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I got this.
They believe me.
Absolutely, because you're very convincing that way. Well, you're very convincing.
There you go.
And I almost bought tickets on that spot.
Really? Then you just need to bust the Kevin Hart, dude. Get a sports car, get the suit.
I don't
be annoying.
I don't know.
The whole movie.
I can't be annoying.
You know what I have a big problem with in this movie? And I know it's product placement. Everyone in this world has a Nokia Windows phone. When everyone's fighting and they bring their phones out to record.
Oh, is that right?
It's a Nokia Windows phone.
I have no idea.
I do not know one person in my 50-mile radius that owns that phone.
Right.
But everyone in the city of Pittsburgh has that phone.
Not
one person has an iPhone. And I know why. It's product placement.
Maybe
I know why. It's just that pissed me off. No, I don't know anyone in the world.
Yeah.
When I used to work for a phone company, no one ever bought that phone.
Right.
Huh. How?
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention to that either. Yeah. I was paying more attention to the fighting.
That really made me mad. That might have been my turn off moment.
Okay.
You're telling me in this world, no one owns an iPhone?
Well, maybe it's because they didn't pay for it.
Huh? I know the reason why iPhones aren't in there.
I'm messing around. Because
the product placement just pissed me off.
It's the same with the stolen movie we did where they had the Blackberries.
Oh, yeah.
Which nobody uses Blackberries anymore, also.
Yeah.
So, it's product placement. Yeah. That one got me, though. That one I noticed. Because it's Blackberry. They, like, shoved it in your face as Blackberry.
Yeah.
That's how this one was for me.
Really? I didn't get that.
You just see Nokia. Like, when people are watching it on their phones, the fight that they have in the studio, Nokia. Nokia.
Okay. Interesting.
I just saw, like, black phone.
No, trust me. Well, I used to work for a phone company. I know what phones look like.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Okay. Anyway, so they get into training, and before Kim Basinger shows up, De Niro trains, and he goes to the gym with Ladies Love Cool James.
Yeah.
Who's like, is he supposed to be an ex-fighter?
Basically, I feel like.
Or does he just own the gym?
I believe he owns the gym. He does training for fighters himself, but I think that De Niro himself helped his entire family.
Yeah. That's what he said. But
I don't remember him saying anything about fighting.
He kept getting upper hand on him.
Yeah.
He's like, you're old. Bam! You didn't see that? I got to do the De Niro.
Because he kicked him in the nuts.
You didn't see that, huh?
That's true, yeah.
He kicked him in the nuts, man.
I don't know if he's a fighter or he's some sort of big deal because he's got the reality show TV watching him around.
Yeah.
So maybe he used to be a fighter. Maybe he's still a fighter.
He's making a big deal like, oh, I got LL Cool J training me.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh.
I don't know. Maybe some sort of big deal trainer. Maybe it's like a Dana White of that.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe.
Maybe like a Dana Black. That's a little weird.
And that's when Shane comes in the picture.
Yeah. Right, Shane. Yeah,
Shane gets from The Walking Dead gets introduced, and when De Niro shows up at the gym, he's just staring him down. He's like, "Nice car," to his hoopty.
Okay,
everyone has a hoopty in this movie.
Yeah. What's Pittsburgh?
That? Yeah, it's Pittsburgh. It's a shitty steel mill town.
Ah.
Yeah.
For those who don't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So you find out that's De Niro's kid.
Yep.
Which immediately I know, oh, so that's the kid that he hooked up with Kim Basinger.
Yeah. A lot of it was like
that wasn't very subtle.
No, not subtle at all.
I picked that up instantly.
There was no subtlety in this movie.
Yeah, because I think as soon as Shane showed up, so did Kim Basinger on the other side of Stallone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was very weird. It just the whole story arc there was just unbelievable to me. Like it was too convenient, too perfect for the movie. Of course, it's a movie. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be far fetched, I guess. But this was way too far fetched for me.
Yes,
and then so they go to sit down and eat. So he can start talking to his son. And De Niro's sitting there eating pancakes and drinking scotch.
At like 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning.
What the?
He goes, are you training?
Yeah.
And then he drinks the scotch. He goes, oh, scotch, that's good. I want to add that to your
training list. Somebody that enjoys scotch, that's a horrible combination. I would like to drink scotch anytime I can, but pancakes? What the?
And maple syrup?
Yes, no. That's destroying the taste of the scotch.
Yes.
What if it was pecan flavored syrup?
No. It's still sweet.
It's a joke.
Okay. That bumped me a lot. I was like, scotch and pancakes, really? It's not so much that he's eating pancakes, it's that he's drinking scotch with the pancakes.
I feel like, I think the whole thing about it was he was just an alcoholic. I think that that's all he would drink was alcohol.
Right.
So yeah, even if it
was. But scotch isn't cheap.
Yeah. Well, he's got his own.
He has money.
He has his own bar.
You find out later on he has a car dealership too.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I guess.
And he has his restaurant. And he's loved throughout
Plus,
Pittsburgh.
What kind of restaurant serves scotch along with pancakes?
That's the thing.
It's like a diner. Then, yeah. If anything, you might get
that's
a beer.
True.
Who? What Denny's has a full legalizer?
I didn't think about that either. That's a good point.
I was like, where do you get scotch at 8 o'clock in the morning?
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
At a diner.
I want to go. I'm down.
God. So they're trading. Oh, we got to get through this.
Yeah. Okay.
This movie is kind of boring. So I feel this episode.
I enjoyed it.
Not eh.
Yeah.
The whole middle part was really boring for me.
Which part? Where they were just trying to figure out how to.
Like the training and them have to promote together.
Instead of doing those montages like they do in old 80s movies.
I'm surprised for them referencing. For this supposed to be Rocky versus Jake LaMotta, there was not one montage. Every Rocky movie has a montage.
Interesting.
There was not one montage.
Mm.
I was waiting for one. I guess.
Those semi-montages.
Sort of, yeah. Where Stallone was lifting the tire and De Niro's blowing the pull-ups.
It wasn't as traditional as most montages, but there was a little bit of that.
Well, usually in a normal montage, you don't really see two people. It's usually one person.
Yeah. Well, no, in Rocky IV, it cuts
true.
To Drago.
Good point.
Getting roided up.
Yeah, I think most montages, if there's a villain, it shows the villain also.
Yeah, but there's no villain in this movie.
They're both villains to each other.
Yeah.
Deep man.
I feel like they're both they're both like anti-heroes.
Yeah.
So there's no real like ultimate evil.
It's hard to find who to root for.
So is Stallone the protagonist and De Niro would be the antagonist?
I don't know, because like, okay, think about it. Stallone has the issues where he was duped and like crap hit the fan for him. De Niro was the kind of guy that got everything he wanted but the one thing. And that's all, and it messed up his whole life, except for the money part.
And then you find out that he's a bad father figure.
Yeah, the antagonist in this movie was pride.
Yeah,
yeah, because like De Niro was a bad father figure, and Stallone was a bad boyfriend.
Well,
because he spent most of his time training and didn't talk to.
Well,
his
she should
girlfriend.
Understand he's a boxer.
Well, I understand
right,
that.
Well, train.
Let's talk about that. The whole background of why it all got to where it got.
Yeah.
Stallone was in training for his second fight.
Yeah.
To go up against the kid, De Niro, and so he's spending a lot of time training, a lot of time at the gym, a lot of time in the ring, doing whatever he has to do. He's neglecting Kim Basinger.
Okay.
At which point she starts feeling distant and. I guess at one point, and this is very confusing, I guess she flies out to somewhere he's training and he's talking to some chick. They don't explain that at all. They just like, Kim Basinger's like, I saw you with that girl and I went crazy.
Oh yeah, that was such a throwaway scene, dude.
And
it seemed like the screenwriter was like, well, I gotta explain why she slept with him somehow.
Yeah.
And they just threw that line in.
Yeah. So I guess she saw him with another woman. She got crazy jealous and thought, I want to hurt him the most way that I can. So I'm going to sleep with the kid. So he goes, he sleeps with the kid and then,
I'll pop Shane.
Yeah, she gets pregnant, and then that's when Rocky decides to stop fighting. Because and his reasoning is that De Niro took away two things he loved most in the world, his girlfriend and his boxing. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to take away from him the same thing. So he took away his boxing, his rematch. He took away what he wanted most in the world.
Yeah.
He took away his rematch. He retired. Now, there's a scene in the park where he's talking with Kim Basinger about this whole thing, where we're getting the background, the exposition.
Yeah.
And then it just, it very quickly is like, ah, all right, let's move on. We got it.
Yeah.
It's resolved way super quickly. 30 years of resentment and hate and like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, me too.
I forgive you.
All right.
Let's go have dinner.
Yeah, let's start shoving each other in bushes. It was a very, very, they got very playful and very like, moving forward. All right, 30 years in the, fine, now we're here. Mm-hmm. He's very much like, yeah, I was bad. He's like, yeah, and I screwed up too. Let's, all right.
See, for me, I didn't really care much about the relationship aspect of the movie. My real awesome part that I liked about it was the fact that Stallone hid the right eye issue.
Oh yeah, he's blind.
Yeah, he's blind in one eye. Yeah. And I like how they played with it through the whole movie, all the way to the end. I thought that was really interesting.
It was interesting, but it also, cause he's got that fucked up thing on his eye anyway from all the Botox he's done.
Yeah.
his eye's a little weird already.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the same eye now that I think about it. Maybe it was. But yeah, apparently, he hit his head or something. There was some.
Oh, at the plant
injury.
He works at, something blew up and it caught gasket. Him in the eye. Yeah, a gasket went off or something.
Yeah, so he got blind in that side. And, the way we find that out is he's out with Kim Basinger. They're out at dinner and they're driving down the street.
No, it isn't. It's at the, it's
at the hospital. I'm explaining.
Oh, okay.
So they're driving down the street and they get T-boned by a car, which I jumped out of my seat.
Yeah, so did I. I wasn't expecting that to come.
I was laying down. I was like, I just popped. What the hell just happened? That was done very well.
Yeah.
Because it scared the shit out of
us. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
No, like that was a very quiet conversation. Oh, they're cute again. Boom. Whoa.
Why?
What the?
And then and then afterwards when they're at the hospital, what's his name?
Arkin.
Arkin, yeah. Uh-huh. Arkin comes in and he says, flip a coin, and he hits him in the eye. Oh, no. It's not even that. It's before that. They were at the UFC match, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we forgot about that part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
That was before the car crash, but that's kind of where he kind of noticed it.
Yeah.
Cause
that's where Arkin notices it.
Well,
he got suspicious at least.
Yeah. For some reason, they're having them promote this.
Yeah, another one of these joint promotions.
Yes.
These guys are going to kill each other in 5 minutes to stand together at a UFC fight.
At UFC, where UFC fighters hate boxing and boxing.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
I guess boxing fighters. I don't know the term there. Boxers.
Boxers.
Boxers hate UFC fighters. So they're giving the interview.
I enjoyed that scene though.
I love that scene because I hate UFC and they were talking shit about UFC.
All right.
Where that UFC guy went up to him. He's like, hey, grandpa, what are you doing talking shit about UFC? And then De Niro delivering it in the most De Niro way possible. He goes, I actually have the line. He goes,
I'll hear this.
You know what we used to call people with people who fight when they kick? Girls. Like, yeah, that De Niro, like, show up and everything. So
there's a lot of good shots at UFC in there.
Yeah. So he shoves him. And then he smacks. Does he smack him?
He smacks Stallone.
He smacks Stallone, and then bam, he knocks him out.
Yeah. No. He's for the readers, because like listeners, because you're just saying he.
Yeah.
So UFC
fighter.
Yeah. The UFC fighter hits Stallone in the like a slap in the face towards his bad eye, which no one knows about this time.
Right.
And then Stallone like just clocks the UFC fighter out cold, one shot.
That was cool. Cause it was one of those things that could never happen in real life.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah. You're going to promote for your boxing thing. Don't talk shit about UFC.
Yeah.
It, right next to the octagon. It was a bad idea. And even Kevin Hart was like, what? What are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that line from Kevin Hart. They go, the octagon. And they go, what are you talking about? They call it the ring, but it's four square, but it's a square.
Yeah.
I like that line.
Yeah. He was talking shit about the whole thing. And like, yeah. Don't talk shit about UFC. I mean, you guys fight in a ring and it's the shape of a square.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was good.
And I like that Arkin and Kevin Hart going back and forth together.
Yeah.
He goes, adventure. Webster, why don't you calm down? He goes, I believe you call me Webster, not because of my size and my race, but because of my dictionary level, use of words. Yeah, he goes, no, call me that because you're short and black. And he goes, what was Jesus like? And then it cuts away and then it cuts back to them. He goes, God, are you going to be this depressing during puberty?
Yeah.
Arkin was good. I liked Arkin in this.
Yeah. He was really funny.
Especially with the horse urine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, no, what is it? Yes,
yeah.
It is.
He has a, Alan Arkin has a bucket of horse urine, and he says, Joe Lewis or some old boxer from back in the day, Joe Lewis used to soak his hands in horse urine.
Right.
So,
make it tough and leathery.
To make it tough and leathery. So Stallone looks in the bucket, he's like, all right. And he sticks it in, he goes, nah, I'm just kidding. Or am I?
Like, yeah.
You fucking
vinegar.
It's vinegar.
No, that's horse piss.
No, it's vinegar.
Nah.
And then Stallone keeps, getting his hand in and out of the bucket. I like that. Arkin was really good.
He was really good in this movie. He was better than I've seen in most, because I'm not a big fan of Arkin, because I haven't seen a lot of his things. The stuff that I have seen, I was like, meh.
Well, he's getting better now, like in
I guess.
age.
Maybe. I just like Little Miss Sunshine, the stand-up guys we reviewed a while ago. Even in
Argo?
Argo. I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't like him in Argo either.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he was good here though.
Oh, we jumped off track.
Yeah.
So they get hit in the car.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So they're in the hospital. So
they go to the hospital, and that's when Arkin approaches Stallone and like confronts him about his blindness. And he does that whole thing. He flips a coin and then slaps him on the side of the face. Like, why don't you tell me you're blind? And they're like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And, so he calls the fight off. At which point De Niro goes batshit crazy. He's like, no! He's so close.
He lost his one chance.
He lost his chance. And so Stallone's over there with his girlfriend at his house, and De Niro shows up and throws rocks through his window.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, all right, now we're back in high school with these guys. But I guess they never really matured past that point. They're just, or he didn't anyway. De Niro would play a very stunted person.
Yeah.
Which I think, and it, oh my God. In this movie specifically, you could see the acting range between De Niro and Stallone.
Yes.
Because I just like looking at it like, De Niro does an amazing job acting. And then you see him next to Stallone, it's like, all right, he's so much better.
Yes.
He's so much better.
He looks so much
everything.
Better.
Just, even though he doesn't look like a fighter, he's pulling it off in a way that Stallone's like, you look like a fighter and you can't pull off a fighter. Yeah. Come on, dude. It's just very, De Niro is amazing. He did a very good job in this, even though the character was a little weird and out there. He nailed the character, I think.
Yeah. The thing about this movie that I found really strange in the middle section was they had so many of these, like, not gaudy, but over-the-top ways to promote this match. Like, they go to a rodeo, and they have to sing the national anthem, and they don't know the words.
Right.
And they have them skydive out of an airplane.
And hit everything.
When you jump out of a plane and you're not experienced, aren't you supposed to have a guy strapped behind you?
Right, yeah. Tandem. You're supposed to go tandem the first time.
And then they land on the target. Target paid money. Yeah, Target paid money to get in this movie.
Yeah.
But
and then Ben Gay also.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah. They're both dropping and their parachutes open, and one says Ben, the other says Gay.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart's filming on his Nokia phone.
Oh, geez.
His fucking phone. And he's like, oh yeah, that's the promotion we need right there.
Yeah.
They have all these outlandish scenes, and they had to pay for extras. This movie had to pay to rent the monster truck arena.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to pay to get the people. They had to pay to get skydivers. They had to pay for what was the other big thing? The UFC. They had to fill the UFC arena. There was a lot of money.
Well, not necessarily true, because what I've heard with certain movies, like there's one coming out recently with Pacino. He plays somebody that's a singer. I forget. It's like a documentary of some kind. And the way they do those kind of things is they'll go to a venue that's already promoting something. Like there's already a concert in place.
Just throw themselves
in. And they just like, all right. Before the concert shows, we're going to have this scene here with De Niro and everybody signed a waiver. So maybe it was an actual UFC fight that was already going to be on. They're like, all right, before this happens, let's get in here.
Yeah.
Real monster truck thing. The Target thing, maybe they had to get people.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, things like that require 1,000 extras, they find a reason that they're already congregating.
Justify that cost. Okay. And it goes back to what you were saying. You would never promote a fight this way.
No.
You would never promote
your
fighters sing a national anthem at a monster truck rally.
No. See, it was all way out there.
Yeah.
All way out there.
But I do feel like the way they did that is to get like every genre or aspect that people watch
demographic.
On TV. Yeah, every demographic. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Would this movie have existed in your world?
No, this is not in the world. This
really?
Is not in the world. No, this is outside.
But
I know. But it's too out there. Everything is too out there to be reality.
Okay.
It sounds so hoity-toity when you say my world.
I know. You don't like that. It's this world. Should I say this world?
That sounds a little better.
No, but this is my world, though. Isn't that a Reebok thing? Or
that's more Nike, like a Queen Elizabeth thing, man.
You were in my world. You're all just living in it. That's some sort of promotion.
Your Majesty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Adidas, Nike. I don't know.
Oh, we're leaving out the Shane. So Shane agrees to train De Niro.
Oh, right.
Because Shane teaches University of Pittsburgh football team. He's a conditioning coach who's going to get him back in shape. And the scene I liked was when he was first training him, and they have him do the pull-up. He goes, all right, ready? Ready, old man? One. De Niro does one. And he's like, okay, half a one. Are you fucking kidding me?
I was
one and a half pull-ups.
Just the one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's
out of shape De Niro doing one?
I like how Shane just messes with De Niro at the very beginning of his like workout and how all the stuff he does. Did you just fart on me? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
See, and that was another thing, too. The same way that Stallone got back with Kim Basinger way too quickly.
Yeah.
This
the father-son bond got.
Thing, yes. It was way too quick as well.
The way I think about it is the relationship part was not the main majority of the movie. I mean, it wasn't about father or son. It was about just their pride.
It wasn't about anything.
You sure about that?
they didn't put strong emphasis on anything in this movie.
I enjoyed the whole movie.
There was little parts. All right. But all the relationships, they spent very little time with development. The only development you got to understand and be a part of was the resentment between the two.
Which is what they were looking for.
Fine. But then why put so much emphasis on everything else with Kim Basinger being the dating Stallone, but your son is training the guy that fucked up your life.
Yeah.
And then they're all kind of commingling in this weird way.
Oh, yeah. We find that out later on.
Yeah.
The big reveal that's his mom comes in. She's like, what are you doing training him? Yeah. I saw that coming a mile away, as I mentioned before.
Yep.
But the thing that I found interesting was Stallone has a box in his closet.
Yeah.
And he pulls out his championship belt. I thought that when you retire, your belt's vacated and then someone else wins that belt. Isn't it where...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, isn't that how it is in boxing?
Don't look at me. I don't box.
Well, I would assume that they have to keep updating it. It's not. I can't imagine.
I thought
it's
that
the belt
switches hands. I thought you, because when Floyd Mayweather fights whoever and he beats him, he gets that same belt.
But he wasn't defeated. He retired on top.
I know, but someone has to fill that void. Wouldn't he have to give his belt back?
I'm not
he's
exactly
no longer champ.
I'm not exactly sure because I think that the information on the belt also has the year. So I think it has to go.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Oh,
okay. They have to keep updating it from time to time.
Yeah, just like the Stanley Cup.
Okay. But that's the same cup.
No, it isn't.
They just keep adding rings to it.
Yeah, they add rings to it. They take the levels down.
So they cut it. So they cut it and add more in? Yeah.
No, it just gets taller.
Well, yeah, that means they have. Okay, whatever.
Well, in pro wrestling. Oh, never mind.
I don't watch pro wrestling.
Let's use that as a marker for reality.
I was going to say, like, when Stone Cold vacates the title, like the same belt is given to whoever wins the Royal Rumble.
So
this,
it's the same belt from the very first year of wrestling is going on now to this day.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Never mind. Goddamn note. This note threw me off. So they book a larger venue because there's so much, there's so much heat going on between these two. People are interested. So now they have to go from the 5,000 ring arena. 5,000 seat arena to 30,000 seat. And that's when Stallone says, I'm out.
Yeah.
And, Kevin Hart flips out.
Yeah.
He has to go back to his hoopty.
Right.
If this fight doesn't go through, De Niro flips out. And that's when we go back to the scene where they're throwing rocks. And he's like, I've never felt more alive than I feel now. Oh shit. We left that on the weirdest scene in the movie.
Which weird.
Uh-huh.
With the grandkid in the bar and
he walks
in there having
that,
sex.
Yeah.
So Shane has a kid and so that's De Niro's grandkid and he's going to take him to the dinner and a movie, I think.
Yeah, that's the idea. That we're going to go to the dinner and movie because he has to go train his football team or whatever.
Yeah.
And on the way back, this is when the phone call comes in where the fight's back on.
Yeah.
So De Niro's like, oh, yeah, we're going to celebrate. And then, let's go to my bar with your grandson.
Yeah.
Which, I assume it's a restaurant also, so maybe that's...
Oh, it is a restaurant. Okay. It's his restaurant.
So maybe it's not that bad you have a kid, but... Starts getting late.
This girl comes on to De Niro and she's like, oh, why don't we get out of here? And he's like, oh, I have my grandson. Come on, it'll just be a minute. So they disappear. So the kid's at the bar top and he's like, where's my grandpa? And they're like, I don't know. So this kid gets a box.
Oh my God.
He gets in De Niro's Escalade.
Yeah.
And he turns the car on.
Right.
He turns the key.
He gets a 12 pack of beer to sit on as a booster seat.
Yes.
Right.
And then he turns it on.
Right.
Puts it into drive.
Right. Which, by the way, I think you need the brake for all those things.
Yes. Okay. Because it's been established that he can't reach the brake.
Right.
Later on in the scene.
Right.
He turns it on, puts it in the gear, and it starts drifting forward. And De Niro and the chick pop up. And he's in his boxers, De Niro. Yeah. He's like, put your foot on the brake. Put your foot on the brake. And it's slowly like going 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Out of the parking lot. So he's like, I can't reach. Which... goes back to what you said.
Yeah.
How are you going to put it in drive?
You need to turn the car on with a brake and then put it in gear at least.
Yes.
If you don't need the brake to turn the car on, you at least need it to change gears.
And then he stops the car right before it's going to crash.
Right.
Going 3 miles per hour into the other car on the street.
Fine.
Cop stops
Saves
him.
The day.
Yeah.
Shit.
I would think that because the kid is such a legend out there, the cop is like, I'll let it slide.
Yeah, and it's right outside of my bar.
Yeah, it's right outside my restaurant.
Yeah, that big picture right
that
there.
That big picture, that's me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Why don't you hook a brother up?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Shane gets mad at him, and he goes, I can't believe you took a kid to a bar. Well, it's his own restaurant.
Right.
That happens to have a bar in it. It's not like he took him to a dive bar.
Yeah.
It's his own restaurant.
Oh, in that case.
I think the whole point about it was he left the kid, alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's confirming the whole fact that
De Niro's a prick.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Well, he is a prick through the whole movie, at least until the end, I think.
Yeah. So
we get to the main event.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. The music De Niro came out to. He came out to an Irish, ship it up.
Yeah.
To this Dustin whole Murphy's. Time, I swear to God, this whole time I thought he was Italian. I had no clue he was Irish.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Because like, they said his last Irish. Name like twice in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I lost it. It's McKenna. It's Mick.
Oh, okay. McKinnon.
So it's Irish. McKinnon. So he comes out to that and I'm like, he's Irish?
Right.
This whole time I thought he was Italian.
Yeah.
Cause Shane looks Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Look the nose.
They actually kind of look alike.
Yeah.
They actually look similar.
Yeah.
That was a good casting choice.
I agree.
So he comes out to the Irish song and I'm like, holy shit, this guy's Irish?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
I had the same thought. Then once he's on stage dancing around, I'm like, okay, I guess. Irish. Yeah, why not? And then I was thinking like, how can these people play all these different ethnicities? When in real life, people are like nailed down like, boom, you're Filipino or you're, you got some sort of, Basque in you or whatever. People can nail that kind of thing.
And they're both Italian. Stallone's the Italian stallion.
Right.
De Niro's Italian.
Yeah. But they could play anything they want.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like that one Indian dude played a super Hispanic cholo in Training Day.
What are you talking about?
He was in Die Hard 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
He's the one whose cousin was almost raped that Ethan Hawke saved. Like he was like the main cholo.
Yeah, super cholo. But he's like he's Indian or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he could pull it off. Stallone comes out to bang him back.
Yeah.
And they're going to go
fight. What was
that?
Say it one more time?
No. I refuse. Who were you guys going for in the fight? I was going for De Niro. Well, I wanted De Niro to win.
See that was a weird thing because I had trouble deciding who I was rooting for. What about you, Maestro?
I wanted to see how badly they get beaten. That's all I cared about.
Okay.
Because think about it this way. I mean, they look at Rocky movies, right? He is so messed up after every fight.
Yeah.
And every De Niro movie, oh, the one De Niro movie, you just want to see exactly what they're able to do, what they're able at this age, mm-hmm. what they're able to do in the ring. And that's all I really cared for. I didn't really care who won because for me, everything's already resolved. Stallone's already got his girlfriend back. What's it?
De Niro makes amends. Oh, we forgot about that.
Yeah. Real quick amends.
He goes, I need you in my corner. I'm sorry about that. Okay, Dad.
I'll
be in your side.
Yeah.
Like that. Like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. Everything was way too quick. It was just like flyover.
Wasn't it because of that, like the album that he had of him?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That would make a big difference because Shane thinks that De Niro just didn't know he existed.
Uh-huh.
So he, at the football field, he gives him a notepad and he goes, here, you might want to read this. And in it, it's pictures of Shane when he was a kid, like local boy wins championship.
Oh,
so he's been following his whole life.
Yeah,
so he realizes, oh shit, he does care about me after all.
Hold on.
You don't remember that? Did you fall asleep?
I don't remember
Did you skip over that part?
I guess.
That's what happened. That's why he's back on his side.
Okay. But then at the beginning when he first meets him, he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Hold on.
He goes, nice car. And he just walks past him.
Yeah. And then on the way out, he's like, all right, this guy again. What do you want? Will you follow me?
Yeah. Oh, I never realized that. Well, okay.
So you've been following him his whole career, but I don't know. You can't recognize your own goddamn son.
I know the reason why is because
He didn't want him to know that he knew.
Exactly. He wasn't sure because I think the Shane's mother didn't want De Niro in his son's life.
Right.
And I think he was just trying to pay her respects by doing that. Trying to keep distance.
Yeah, but then as soon as he says, I'm your son, all right, fuck those wishes. Let's go get some pancakes and scotch.
Well, I think the whole reason why he does that because no one will train him from the get-go, right?
Well, no.
He's got big pussy, I think, as a trainer.
Yeah, ladies love Cool James gives that fat guy. He goes, you're Oh, and he delivers that line in such a De Niro way. You're my trainer? I think you believe I ate my trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was big pussy in Sopranos, right?
No. He was that really fat guy in The Longest Yard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's who he was.
Okay.
Yeah. Which was directed by the same guy.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. So the fight, I kind of liked the fight.
Yeah, it was
good. The fight
good.
Looked good. Like, it was choreographed pretty well.
Yeah, that was
It was better than a lot of the other boxing movie fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. It went 12 rounds.
Right.
And
that was another thing that is kind of the same way the rest of the movie, they keep glancing over everything. Mm-hmm. Like, the first two rounds are intense. And then 10 rounds goes by. He's like, all right. If based on the intensity of the first two rounds, it should have been over by the fourth.
Yeah.
But they go 12
rounds.
Because
they were going all out.
Yeah. They were going crazy.
I think because you remember how, like, they're like, basically, they don't go down so easily. And that's the whole point about it, I think.
Did you go down in the second round?
I don't remember.
I think Rocky and or De Niro both went down in, like, the second round or something.
I don't know.
That's what I was like. Based on that, it should be over. But now it's just gloss over it. Hey, I took your kid to a bar. Ah, it's fine.
I think
I cheated on you. Ah, no big deal. Let's move on. 10 rounds. Let's move forward. Let's keep the story going. Come on, guys.
Because I think one of
that was good. Go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. He's kind of like left it for me. It's okay.
The fight, there's an interesting twist. De Niro's aiming for the eye. He knows he's got a bad eye.
He doesn't know he has a bad eye. He just knows that
he's
side
weak
is weak.
There.
Yeah. Or he knows the side's weak. So yeah. Shane tells De Niro,
no,
if you go for the eye, you know, it won't be a clean fight. They'll always say you only won because you went for the eye.
Well, first, Kim Basinger sees Stallone getting all fucked up. And so
she told Alan Arkin, if you see that he's...
No, she told the son.
Yeah.
She told her son, Shane, about the eye thing.
Yeah.
Shane's like, fuck. So he goes and tells De Niro.
So then, but then Kim Basinger tells Arkin, if you see that something bad's going to happen, you throw the towel in.
Right.
So he keeps getting hit in the eye. And he actually gets cut early.
Which
is De Niro. De Niro gets cut early,
but
too.
But if he's cut from that eye that he can't see, who cares?
Yeah.
So, all right. Big deal.
It's like, you're all puffy and swollen. It's like, it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, can't say a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so then...
we got to work on these Stallone impressions.
Yeah.
We've done how many Stallone movies now?
Like
three?
Two? Three?
Is this our third?
I think we've done too many.
Two and a half?
Oh, we did Tango and Cash, Over the Top, and this one. This is our third Stallone movie.
Okay.
He's our new he's
save
our new
some
champ
for the sequel,
now.
Rocky.
Yeah.
He's our new champ.
Yeah. Yeah, so then Shane goes and tells De Niro, it doesn't matter. If you win this fight, nobody's going to... speaking of which, this is going back a little bit, but... The way that media is now, especially social media, and the way that news people are, how is it a secret that De Niro knocked up Stallone's girlfriend? That should have blown up.
Yeah.
If not at the time, because I know that was a long time ago where it wasn't spread that easily. At this point now, somebody should have found that out. That should have been a headline.
Yeah.
That, hey, the reason he retired, we found out because he knocked up his chick.
Uh-huh.
That's why he's out of there. That doesn't work. All right.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to assume that after the fight, it's going to blow up that he was blind out of the eye.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's going to blow up, how come this background didn't blow up as far as the whole drama behind the kids? Yes. That should have come out. That is any investigator, any investigative journalist would have found that out. It would have been, Kevin Hart should have found that out.
Yeah.
He should have blown it up. That should have been a big thing.
Oh, that would have made,
know about it.
That would have made the fight that much better.
Yes. As soon as he found out, as soon as De Niro told him, he should have gone to the papers with that. Yeah. That would have made the rubber match even more press worthy.
I don't know about the papers, but
with the Huffington Post or something.
Yeah, that would have been a good angle.
Yes.
You see the fight. Who's the real father? Or,
you can choose
something like that.
You can choose.
They could have done Amore, another joint promotion.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. You can choose any newspaper, and you choose Huffington Post.
It's relatively.
Well, it's an online.
That's what
Huffington Post is big, dude.
Thank you.
It started off as a blog, and now it's
With Ariana Huffington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Oh, CNN. You want to go to CNN or something? Yeah, they're too busy with their airline coverage to talk about this stuff. But anyway,
too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So they're fighting, and who gets knocked down? Oh, he knocks Stallone down.
Yes.
De Niro knocks Stallone down, and he keeps going for the eye, for the weak eye.
Yeah.
He keeps going, and boom, he knocks him down. So the ref's going, one, two, and De Niro has a change of heart. He's like, fuck, and he picks him up.
Yeah.
He picks Stallone up. He's like, let's do this right.
Well, because De Niro's whole thing in the entire movie is the reason he lost that fight is because he wasn't ready.
Yeah, he wasn't at his best.
He wasn't trained. He wasn't ready for that fight.
So now Stallone's not at his best.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that's playing with him. Like, all right, I'm going to
beat him.
I'm going to beat him, but he's not at his best, so he's kind of getting that attack of consciousness. And mm-hmm. he pulls him up and says, all right. And he pretty much makes a deal with him that I'm going to avoid your eye because I know you're blind or something like that.
It's like no excuses.
Yeah, no excuses. But then the very first punch he throws is a left hook.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, all right, he said, I'm right in front of you the whole time. I'm right in front of you. But then he throws a left hook.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
his bad eye.
So?
He just made a deal. I'm not going to go for that eye.
No. He doesn't say that he's not going to go for the eye. He just says he wasn't going to be in his blind spot. His whole body's not going to be in the blind
spot. His left side is a blind spot.
His right eye, actually.
He still hit him in the left side of his face.
No.
Anatomically, it's his right eye.
Anatomically?
Yeah. You're not saying it's your right eye. It's his right eye. His right eye is the one that's bad.
What the hell?
Wait, Stallone's?
Yes.
No. It's his left eye.
No, it's his right eye.
The car hit him from the left side. Mm-hmm. He didn't see it coming.
No, because like...
Hit him from the right side.
Yeah,
it hit the passenger.
Oh, yeah, and then she hit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Thank you.
Right side. Right. Okay. So his right eye is blind and he hits him with a left hook.
Yeah, but his whole body is in his left.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so but it was a cheap shot.
No, it's not, because his body was on his left. You can see his whole body on the left eye.
He still hit him on the left side. I just feel like, come on, that's his blind eye. That's the first punch. Let's make a deal. I'm right here in front of you. Let's avoid this whole blind thing and whack in his weak side. He hits him in the weak side first. Whether he was in front of him or not, that's the weak side. We know it's the weak side.
Which proves, again, De Niro's a prick in this
yes.
movie.
Yes. He's a prick that just, like, all right. He became less pricky. That's the merit.
Less pricky.
But he's still a prick.
He's just a pear now, not a prickly pear?
Yeah.
All right.
He's a cactus cooler.
And the judges are like, whoa, he can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's an exhibition match. They're not playing. They're not competing for the belt here.
Right.
So yeah. The ref let it, even the ref was like, what do I do?
Oh, by the way, the ref was also a really, really old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, you're like, all right, I guess. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe he was one of the refs from like one of the original Rambo movies or Rocky movies. That would make sense.
Okay.
I don't know.
The reason why I thought that he was De Niro was actually doing the right thing when he said he was just no more excuses.
It was a left hook.
Yeah, I know. It was a left hook, but his body was still you could actually Stallone could still see him.
Yeah, I guess. See,
yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, because like usually what happens is before you hit, you duck down low and to the left before you throw the hook. That way his whole like portion of the body disappears. From Stallone.
Understood.
So I think the whole point about it was, it's not the left hook, but the fact that his body would not scoot over to the other side where Stallone couldn't see him anymore.
Okay.
Because you can still see the shoulder.
No, I understand. Okay. I understand. But I also feel like if you only have sight out of one eye,
yeah,
you tend to adjust your lifestyle to compensate for that.
He did.
So if he moves to the left, turn your head to
that
the right.
That takes time.
It takes more time to move your head like 3 degrees, 5 degrees, then to move your entire body over.
No, it takes time to adjust. No, it takes time to adjust your body to the movement, because now he's blind in one eye. He can't see it. He has to turn and then adjust his body to block.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more time that De Niro has to get into this position that he wants.
I'm not a boxer. I'm in no way a fighter, so I will defer to your judgment for this.
Very good, sir.
But I also feel like
the first same thing you said tonight.
So they're fighting, and then Stallone knocks De Niro down in the last round.
Yeah.
And he picks him up.
Right.
And they go at it, and then ding, ding, that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Match is over.
Yep.
Goes to the cards. And who did you think was going to win when it went to the cards? I was still thinking it was going to be De Niro.
I would have thought De Niro as well.
I would say, because De Niro was having this epiphany where he became a better person,
yeah,
that he was going to lose anyways.
Oh, okay.
I think the reason De Niro lost, which we didn't mention, by the way, is I think at the end of the second round, he takes a cheap shot.
Oh, that's right.
At the very end of the round.
That's right. Oh. The bell. I completely forgot about that. The bell rings, and in boxing, when the bell rings, go to your corners. Stallone just gets hit. Another cheap shot.
Yeah.
He just gets another cheap shot in after the bell, so they deduct a point.
Right. So that probably cost him the whole match.
That is, I think, that is exactly what it cost him the game. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He's a prick in this.
Yeah. He did it well. That's what I'm saying.
Which shows his range.
Exactly.
His range was so good in this movie.
Yeah.
For what he had to do. I'm not saying this is Raging Bull.
It was a horrible movie.
Yes.
But I enjoyed
the whole movie.
Why did you enjoy this?
What? Because. Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let's just end it real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll go to defending it.
Okay.
So they announced Stallone's the winner.
Yep.
Alan Arkin's been having issues with his hearing aid.
Right.
So he hears that De Niro won. He's like, those fucking bobs.
Yeah.
And they go, we won. You won? And it just says the end. They end it like that. It just goes, it just fades black. The end. Yeah. This damn hearing aid. The end.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck? And then it goes to a scene during the credits that there's two scenes in the credits. Yeah. One has Kevin Hart. What's the one before that?
Okay, they're at Stallone's place.
It's also Kevin Hart in it too. Yeah. He's got his feet in a bucket of vinegar.
Oh, vinegar,
quote unquote vinegar.
Yeah,
like it's gone bad, man. You think vinegar's churned?
Yeah, I think they're at Stallone's house.
Yeah. Watching the TV, he finally got.
Stallone never had a TV.
He never had a TV because he never wanted to watch boxing. He never wanted to accidentally see the face of the guy that knocked up his girlfriend, which got over very quickly again.
Yeah,
but still no TV. All right.
Yeah. And then the scene after that is. Kevin Hart's promoting another fight, and you don't know who it is. And then you see it's Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. I thought that was a cool little cameo.
That was
funny.
Because
those two fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy bit the other guy's ear. Dude.
I'm actually surprised that they actually put him in the same room and they didn't do anything. You know, they were actually pretty cool for the whole movie. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, say sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the credits and it ends.
Yeah.
All right, Maestro, defend this movie, please.
Okay. The fighting, I enjoyed it. I mean, they did really great choreography. The point about the movie was not like all the other stuff about relationships and stuff like that. It was all about the pride, all about the revenge, all about the coming of the culmination of a 30-year spite war. And right. how those children at the time grow up to be adults after the fight, just how they do on the schoolyard. Once they have that fight, they become friends. Everything goes away. That's the way I see it. It's like part of a real life perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with like who knocked up who. It's just in this movie, that was just an underliner. The main thing about it was both of their prides were hurt. Right. One of them was because he never got the chance to become number one. The other one was because the relationship ended because of what De Niro did.
True. However, this happened over like maybe a 2 month, maybe a 6 month at the most span.
Do you realize how long it takes for a person to get into shape from the way they were?
Right.
That takes a while, man.
But they're not promoting this for years and years.
No, not for years and years. Like 6 months.
Okay, 6 months at the most.
Yeah.
Over 6 months, they healed 30 years worth of damage.
Well, actually, they had 30 years of festering, and a lot of it's not old, new anymore, you know?
No, it's all still new. They haven't, nobody's talked to anybody.
Yeah.
After this whole 30 years, nobody's talked to anybody.
When they met in the video game.
Yeah, I know.
First time they met.
I understand that. What I'm saying is they had time to come, like, for instance, Stallone, all that crap that went through, when he went through, he doesn't want to deal with it anymore. He's over it. That kind of thing.
He has no TV, so he doesn't accidentally see something. He's not over it.
He still has a belt in his closet.
He doesn't want anybody to touch. Don't touch that box.
Yeah.
Why? Don't touch the box. What's in the box? What's in the box?
Gee, I don't know, George. What's going on?
And De Niro, he's pumped up. He's pissed as shit still.
Yeah.
The only person that's not pissed
is Shane.
Is the kid.
Yeah.
The grandson. He's fine. Yeah. He's the most well-adjusted person in this whole damn movie.
There's still time.
And he's trying to drive a car with a 12-pack sitting under him.
See what I mean?
Without touching the brake. You're right. Yes, Hollywood. No fucking brake. So if this movie happened over five years,
is that more proof that this could not exist in your
world? Exactly. The way cars work in this world is not the way cars work in my world. The way promotions work in this world is not my world.
Your Majesty.
And in this world, people have Nokia Windows phones and not iPhones.
Every other phone is outlawed. Understood. Very good. All right. That's a monopoly in my world, but in this world, it's fine. Okay.
Passcode and not collect $200.
Yeah. If this happened over a 5 year span where they had time to grow, if the movie was longer, which I'm glad it wasn't, if it was longer and they had more time to work on the character development, fine. But it was a weak script, so they had to push through everything. Everything had to be like, move along. All right, next thing. Maybe they should have left certain things out so they can develop more on their relationship. Because I didn't care about anybody except for Stallone and De Niro. I didn't care about Shane. I didn't care about Basinger. I didn't care about Arkin.
I did. I cared about Arkin. He was cool.
He was funny, but I didn't care about him.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Hart also. He was funny, but I didn't care about him. He got screwed over by his Don King dad. But that's it. Like, every single story point, every character development was brushed over very quickly. Anything that would make me want to care about any of these characters was just handled quickly. Let's move on to the next thing. All right. Here's so you know. They got screwed too. All right. Good. This guy also got screwed. Oh, okay. Moving on. This person was also screwed. Oh, everybody got screwed. Interesting. Okay.
You should be a writer.
Yeah. Everything was rushed. It was too fast. And even the last fight scene, like, they rushed through 10 rounds. Just like, boom. All right. Move on. We got to get to the end here.
Do you think that's another montage?
I almost feel like whoever wrote this script was like, wouldn't that be awesome if Jake LaMotta fought Rocky?
That's it.
Hey.
That's it.
Okay. Well, okay. Page one, they fight.
Right.
Now what? Yeah. I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, page one through five is background of they used to be fighters.
Uh-huh.
They used to fight. All right. Now last page, they fight.
That's a great idea. Let's do it.
In between
Now we need filler. He knocked the girlfriend up. I like that.
Yeah.
Work from there. What else you got?
We got a Cool J in there. We got to get Cool J in there. Yeah. All right. Let's make him a boxer or a TV star. I don't know what he is. Let's put him in there.
He's
nobody knows what he is.
Yes.
That's right. Through the whole movie, he has no discernible like job
or title.
Title at all.
He just owns the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Huh.
Yeah, there was no details for anything in this movie, and that really bothered me.
Okay.
The guy who wrote this is Tim Kelleher. Do you want to hear what he wrote before this?
All right.
He was a staff writer on Two and a Half Men.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
He was a staff writer on In Living Color.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote First Kid, the movie with Sinbad, where he has to protect the first kid of the president.
Sinbad. Yes. That's enough said.
Yes. That's this guy. He was probably like, wouldn't that be cool if Jake LaBeouf.
This is my ticket. I'm going to get Stallone and De Niro. Woo! That's all I need. Turns out you need more than just big actors to make a good movie.
You need more than just a good idea.
Yeah.
Need plot.
Yes.
Exposition, which there's a lot of.
I still enjoy the movie because De Niro did a really good job.
Yeah. It was fun.
I was impressed by him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he could have phoned it in just like how he's been doing lately, but it seemed like he was really into it.
Yeah. It was nice to see him, even though this was a comedy role and not serious, it was nice to see him kind of
step out of his box again.
It just seemed like he was taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not like the Fockers, where he was kind of like, he was just being De Niro. That was his whole thing. He's just going to be the De Niro gangster dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all his character is.
Yeah. Well, guys, anything else? Any closing statements?
No.
Okay.
If you want to see a good boxing movie, watch The Hammer with Adam Carolla in it. That's a good boxing movie.
There's another good boxing movie called, shit.
Really? There's a name called that?
I had it on the tip of my tongue.
Hurricane.
The Hurricane is good with Denzel, but that's more of a crime story. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boxing. Big White Hype.
Oh, yeah. I like that movie. That was Teen Wolf 2.
That was fun.
No.
What the hell?
No. Isn't that basketball?
No, that was boxing. The first one was basketball.
Okay. Anyway, that was our opinion on the movie.
Yeah.
We have lots of them, but we don't have any credentials.
Right.
Now we're going to hear from people who have credentials. So do you guys want to hear good reviews or bad reviews first?
Let's do good.
Okay.
I want to hear good things about De Niro, I assume.
Lee Zachariah of Concrete Playground. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Concrete
Playground. It's a basketball court.
Oh. What does he have to do with the boxing ring?
That's what they call it.
All right.
Grudge Match is one of those ideas that works as a passing joke rather than an actual film. That's what I said.
Yep.
But the film's bizarreness is admirable. Is that a word? Bizarreness is admirable, and it is possible to have a good time with it. Just make sure your expectations are suitably lowered first. Is that a good review?
I don't think so.
No. This is positive?
Yeah. This is a good review. Just make sure. Oh, okay. So it's saying don't expect too much. Make sure your expectations are low.
All right. That's not a positive.
No, that's pretty bad.
If you're going on a blind date with somebody, they say just lower your expectations before you go on this blind date. You're not saying they're attractive.
Yeah.
You're not saying you're going to have a good time. You're just like, be ready for something. All right? Just be careful.
Brian Martin of UTV. I don't know what this is. No. Aging Bull versus Rocky Glaucoma. Has somebody knocked me silly, or am I really watching 70-year-old De Niro brushing 60-year-old Stallone in the boxing ring? Is this a joke?
Is that positive?
That's a good review.
No.
That's on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sure? That doesn't sound right at all.
This is off of Rotten Tomatoes under the...
Well, I can't wait to hear how bad it is.
Seriously.
So what I did was I went off Rotten Tomatoes, and since Rocky is in Philly, I wanted to get a guy from the Philly media his take on it, and it was a good review.
Okay.
Oh.
So this is Bill Wine of KYW 1060, CBS, Philadelphia.
Mm.
The serviceable screenplay by Tim Keller and Rodney Rothman has plenty of plot and affords ample screen time for many of the secondary characters. And the inevitable nods to the previous films and long-established personas of his two principals crop up but are not distracting or overdone.
Right. Oh, that was the scene that Maisha was talking about with the meat. We didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, that was fun.
There's a very throwaway scene where they're walking through...
It's part of the training sequence.
Yeah, part of the training. They're walking through a meat cooler... And you see Stallone about to punch one of those giant meat things, like from Rocky.
Yeah.
And Arkin's like, whoa. We're just here to get some dinner. You don't have to punch everything.
Yeah.
It's unsanitary.
Yeah.
But then at that moment, you see Stallone's face. Like he's got like a smirk. Like he knows.
Yeah. He's like,
Yeah. I mean, on this joke. I know it's a joke, guys. He should have just winked at the camera.
I wrote
Christ's
this
sake.
Because he wrote Rocky. He's like, I wrote this.
You know, he should have winked at the camera because he was like one of those like, hey, yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, I wrote that.
That little smirk on his face told me like, yeah, it's a joke. Laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. Stay in character, buddy.
So a Philly guy likes it. Okay. I guess that's kind of good.
Yeah.
Bad reviews.
Here we go.
Adam Graham of Detroit News. Mm-hmm. Stick with your memories of Rocky Balboa and Jake LaMotta because Grudge Match isn't a fight worth fighting.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Mark Olson of the Los Angeles Times says, pleasant but underwhelming. It feels like something that belongs on the undercard, never reaching the heights of a main event.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. And last one, J.R. Jones of the Chicago Reader.
Okay.
The jokes are clumsy. The dramatic scenes are stale and lifeless.
Yeah.
Like the climactic bout, the movie itself is a freak show, a fantasy matchup made between two icons with nothing better to do than spend their own legacies.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the jokes.
Some of them worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. The jokes were good, but some of them did, like, you guys said Kevin Hart's thing was forced. I think so, yeah. Everything Stallone said was forced.
Oh, yeah.
Like every other movie he's ever done.
Yeah. Oh. But if you believe it hard enough, it'll happen.
Right. Exactly.
Rotten Tomatoes. This is part of the show where I make the guys guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. Rotten Tomatoes has a score between 0 and 100. Anything below 60 is rotten. 61 to 85 is fresh. And anything above 86 is certified fresh.
Right.
Would you like to guess the critics or the audience members?
I feel like regardless, whatever I choose is going to be well above what it's supposed to be because I like the movie.
Okay. No, you're supposed to guess theirs, though.
You're supposed to guess theirs, not yours.
First, what's your score? What would you give this movie?
No, I'm not. Let's do them first.
Okay.
Well, do you want to do audience or?
Let's do audience.
Audience? Okay. What are your numbers?
65.
Okay.
47.
53.
Ooh.
We're in the middle.
So it's rotten.
Okay. Oh, wow. Right.
But not too, it's about close to 60.
Yeah.
Critics, the tomato meter.
Okay. 52.
For those of you who can't see, they're staring each other down. This looks like the poster from Grudge Match.
Oh.
It's like one's here.
Right.
Ready to roll.
It might as well be the same thing. I mean, he's built and I'm like, yeah, I'm not a fighter
Niro.
At all.
Yeah, yeah. You're De Niro.
He looks like a fighter.
Stallone, yeah.
He's like, hold on a second. Let me get to my good eye. Hold on.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the muscle in his arms. I got the fat in my stomach. It's the same kind of thing.
Oh, I did like real quick the bartender jumping back when he goes, you'd be crazy to fight in this thing. You have a bad back. You're fat. You have weak knees. You're fat. And De Niro was like, no, don't sugarcoat it. Be honest with me. But he had that De Niro look like, don't sugarcoat it, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry. What are your tomato meter scores?
What'd you say?
52.
35.
30%.
Whoa! I was going to say 25. Which would have been exactly the same.
So they did not like this at all.
Yeah, critics, they had to hate it. Yeah.
See, I was like above on pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trivia. I found a couple facts, nothing too big. Kim Basinger's character in this movie, her name is Sally Rose.
Okay.
Sally Rose is played by Kim Basinger in the 2010 scenes, and her daughter, Ireland Basinger Baldwin, plays her in the 1980 scenes.
Oh, interesting.
Is that true? Wow.
That's the stuck up little piggy, right?
What?
Huh? The stuck up little pig Alec Baldwin was yelling at?
Maybe. I don't know how many kids he has.
Okay.
It might be her.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I heard
about 10 years ago, Alec Baldwin got a lot of flack for yelling at his daughter over voicemail, calling her, you're a rude, thoughtless little pig, and something, something, something.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Miss Piggy. I'm like, her. What?
Oh, she was a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yeah.
Not Piggy, pig.
Her name's Ireland? Fucking celebrity.
Maybe that was like Four Christmases. That's where she was conceived.
Oh! That's right. In the med credit scene, on the wall of Dante's office, that's Kevin Hart, is a fight poster written Siegel versus Ewing. This is a reference to the film producers Peter Siegel and Michael Ewing.
Mm.
On the poster, it also reads Asbrink versus King in a reference to Hollywood talent scout Cindy Asbrink and boxing promoter Don King.
Okay.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. I guess if you're a boxer, you know those names and it's important.
I saw King. I just assumed Don.
Right.
I didn't even know who this other person is. Sylvester Stallone was nominated for a Razzie for this performance, along with his work in Bullet to the Head and Escape Plan. I like Escape Plan.
I still haven't finished.
Can you still understand Escape Plan? What?
Yeah. But he lost to Jaden Smith for After Earth.
Oh, okay.
Stallone has the most Razzie nominations and wins.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Well, congratulations.
Because he directs stuff too. So he wins them for like directing, writing.
He's doubling down.
Yeah. Stats. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released this year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held up to its peers. God, I can't read this copy.
Oh boy.
This week. Its production budget was $40 million. This movie cost $40 million to make. How much do you think it made?
Oh.
$50 million.
Oof, I was going to say 60.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll stay with 60.
1560. In the U.S., it grossed $29.8 million.
Ooh.
Worldwide, it grossed $12.1 million.
Ooh.
Bringing its total to $41.9 million.
Oh.
Ouch. They made nothing.
Yep.
Wow.
This movie.
They by broke even standards, it has to be triple, you said?
Like
double.
Two to three times.
They made a million more than they spent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the movie itself?
Yes.
Oh, boy. How much of that you think was De Niro? I'll say like $30 million of that was De Niro.
Just to coax him to want to be in this movie? I know you have your Oscars.
Yeah.
This movie debuted in 11th place on December 27th, 2013 with $7 million. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug was in first place that weekend with $29
million. Okay. He said it right.
Smaug?
I said Smaug, right?
Yeah, he said it right.
All right. I wish it's Smaug.
This is the 90th highest grossing film of the past 365 days. I say that because
There's 90 films?
That's how Box Office Mojo, the site I used, calculated it.
I thought you said there was 90 films. Only I'm like, wow.
Well, it's the 90th highest grossing film of the past 365 days.
How many films have been so far?
I don't know.
90 films?
Well, no. This is the 90th of those.
It's a joke, man. Yeah, come on.
It's last place. Yeah.
Come on.
The top five so far are The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, 424 million. It's the same as the last episode.
Right.
Iron Man 3, 409. This one's new. Frozen, 400 million.
Ooh.
Despicable Me 2, 368. And Man of Steel, 291. Yeah. All franchise stuff, all sequels.
Whatever. Yeah, except for Frozen.
Frozen was good.
It's franchise. It's Disney.
They're going to make a two. Did you know?
Yeah, they're making a two? Better.
Did you know Frozen passed The Dark Knight for like fifth place of the highest grossing movie of all time?
I can believe
it's in the billion dollar range.
See, Adam can believe it. I can't.
Well, because I'm a huge Disney freak, and this movie came out. I didn't see it until recently. I missed the boat completely, but I saw it because my daughter was always talking about it. I'm like, all right, let me check this out. And it's like one of the better Disney movies since like Aladdin.
Yeah,
to me, and
non Pixar.
Yeah, it was great, and it followed kind of the same Disney formula and whatnot. So not only do you have because it was good for me as an adult, but then you got the kids forcing the adults to watch it.
Yeah.
So, and you got the princesses stuff. It's all back. That's coming back huge.
Dude, if you want to make money in Hollywood, you make an animated movie. Because you got to, the kids have to go. So right. The parents have to take the kids.
Right.
There's merchandising. That's the best way to make money.
Absolutely.
Is animation.
This is huge with the kids all over the place. I was in the park the other day and I heard random kids singing these songs.
Let it go.
Exactly.
Let it go. The Oscar winning song.
Yeah.
My girlfriend hates that song.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I love that song, but she hates that song.
I didn't like it until I saw the movie. Mm. And then you see it in context. It's just so goddamn powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, I might cry right now.
Adam.
Yes.
You can watch this movie on Amazon.
Oh, yes, you can. If you're going to do that, make sure you go to our website first. Click on the banner on the right side of the page. It doesn't cost you anything extra. If you're going to buy anything from Amazon, it just helps out the show. We get a little kickback as long as you click on our link first. Also, through iTunes, if you're going to go to iTunes and buy the movie or rent it even, then again, go to our website first, click on the link. It gives us an extra kickback and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Yep. And enjoy the other shows on the Rat Pat Podcast Network.
Yes.
If you like this show, you'll like the other ones.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And next week, we're not sure yet.
Not sure.
We're thinking of doing Johnny Depp, a bad Johnny Depp movie, or a bad, who else did you say?
I think we're going to do Johnny Depp next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just got to narrow it down.
Just promise me one thing, not Edward Scissorhands, please.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah? Don't do it.
I was thinking about it.
Please don't do it.
All right. We'll see. We'll talk about it. You know what?
Oh, but if you have to know. but if you want to suggest a movie.
Yes. Email us. Spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com. Send us your suggestions. Send us your criticisms and anything else.
Tell us who you were rooting for in this movie. Were you Stallone or were you De Niro?
Yes. Who were you rooting for? Because did we decide who you rooting for on my show? You're just for a beat up.
Yeah, me for beat up. You probably De Niro, right? Yeah.
I was going Stallone just because that's part of it is that whole hopeless romantic thing, blah blah blah. Even though I didn't buy his story, I liked his story more than I liked De Niro's bitterness. I guess.
I was going for De Niro the same reason I would go for like Ric Flair because I wanted the heel to win. Like it's better if the bad guy wins. Like, yeah. It's so much better if the bad guy.
True.
Wins.
True.
I feel like in the whole movie, the only one that actually did win was Arkham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's
got a house to live in now.
He's got a house. He's got a house to live.
Oh, he has a TV now.
He got his TV, got a house to live in. He gets Kevin Hart and Stallone to put his hands and feet into horse urine. Yeah. He's happy. He's done everything he ever wanted to do. He's done.
Yeah.
Just in time. He's about to die.
Seriously. Yes. He's living the dream.
Oh, shit. Do you think maybe in this world shares the same world as stand-up guys? Because they were both in an old folks home?
Nah. Oh. Not because he was a mobster. He didn't do any mobstering in this one.
Right, that's true. It's okay.
It's a good try, though.
I know. He was on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm trying to reference our old shows.
Yeah, very good.
Watch that one.
Yeah, stand-up guys.
Listen to that one.
Listen to stand-up guys. That was fun.
Anyway, we'll see you next week. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam. I'm doing 500, I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go. And there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been blacked out on your ass. God.